The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas is Parashas Tetzaveh. The shiur this evening is a continuation from last week, which is relevant to all of these parshas, to Truma Tetzaveh, and all of these parshas which deal with the Mishkan, with the sanctuary. Now, firstly, we have to give a brief review of what we spoke about last week. But I suggest that those that were not here last week should refer to our tape. There are many who believe and who contend, this is not only currently but in the past generations also, this was throughout history, that the Gorel of Yisrael, the Lot of Yisrael, that's the Elemas Elyonim, the higher worlds, the spiritual worlds, not the Elamas HaTachtenim, not the lower worlds, the physical worlds. And therefore, it's not befitting that we should place too much value or appreciation on anything that has to do with the physical world, certainly not to praise and honor it. When we say the physical world, what are we referring to? We're referring to the physical perfection, physical beauty, both in inanimate objects and live objects, people, physical wealth, and also the physical wisdoms, the wisdoms of the physical world. This belongs to Esav and to his seed. And the greatest of his seed, the Gemara says, Uraimi was the Roman Empire that paid enormous value and praise to the physical world and everything that went with it. Or it belongs to Yavan, the Greek Empire. They were the masters of beauty and perfection and the physical sciences. And all of this is contrary to Avedis Hashem. This is a viewpoint which was always held, past and in the present, by many. But last week we brought that we see from our Torah Kedosha just to the contrary, that all of this belongs also to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and plays an important role in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We brought, firstly, from the Mishkan, the sanctuary, all of its kelim, the holy objects and vessels, and the begodim and the garments of the Kohanim and the Kohen Godel. And there were commanded to bring Zohov, Kesev, Nechoshes, gold. The Medrash brings, there were 7 or 8 different types of gold in the world. This we were commanded on the finest of the gold. It also brings gold is something which is not even, wasn't even, should not have even been in this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it in for his Mishkan. The Kesev, the silver, the purity of the silver, the Nechoshes, the copper and bronze, the arozim, Medrash brings, the Atzei Shittim were an Erez, as from the cedar family. There were also, I think it states, there were 8 types of cedar trees. This was from the best. The Avonim Tovos, all of the precious stones, 12 different stones were used in the Choshen HaMishpat, the breastplate, a sapphire, a ruby, diamond, onyx stone, and so forth. Then there were the fabrics, the best wools, the best linens, Tzemer Izin fabrics were made of goat's hair. There were the skins of the rams, the skins of the tachoshim. Tachoshim, the tachash, was a special animal with a very beautiful coat, and he was created, Nivra Leshah, only for the purpose of the Mishkan. There were the enormous blazing colors. Tchelis was the color of the sea, of the water, an aqua blue-green. Argomon was a bright royal purple. Telashoni was a red scarlet. The Pishtin was a snow white. Zahav was the pure gold. The Tachoshim, the Tachash, Saskavna. This animal that was very joyful and happy, because he had a skin of many, many colors. And all of this was put together with the utmost of craftsmanship, of skill, of talents, with the ultimate in the wisdoms of each craft. For example, the kerubim, these were the images upon the Aron HaKodesh, and the menorah had to be made out of pure gold, zahav tohor, miksha, not pieces by pieces assembled together, but crafted all from one piece of pure gold, which required the greatest wisdom and skill. To extract the tchelis was a great wisdom. This was a creature that lived at the bottom of the sea and only came up once in 70 years, and the Gemara says it was a great wisdom and skill how to bring his color that came from his blood out of him. The fabrics that were made from the Tzemer Izim was a great wisdom, because it was sewn on to the fabrics from the wool of the goats while the goats were still alive. The work of the Avonim Toves, the work of the precious stones, the gold and the silver, the cedar, this all called on, was called upon the most skilled, wisest people. When the fabrics were sewn together, it states that 6 strands of each color were twined together. There were 4 different colors. And then with each group was placed also a strand of gold. And this was all twined together into Chof Ches Kofel, 28 strands. And from here is what was woven, were woven the fabrics. Another example, it states that when the fabrics were woven together, Krubi Maasei Choshev on the Yerias and the Pareches, not only were the fabrics all of these blazing colors, but woven into the curtains and into the yerias, into the tapestries and the fabrics, were the pictures of the eagle and the lion and the bull. Why these? There were reasons for all of that. But sometimes we were commanded where it would show on both sides of the curtain. Sometimes we were commanded that it should show on one side of the curtain and a different form on the other side of the curtain. Maase Choshev, which were called on the greatest artists. The colorful preches and mantlach that were used for our Sefer Torah and Ohr HaKodesh. This is, was taken from there, a small, small measure of what that was. And everything was done in perfect precision, perfect wisdom. For example, the whole Mishkan could be erected, assembled, and taken apart without pounding in a nail or a screw. It was made in such a fashion that it could be put together and taken apart without breaking anything. The upright beams, which were large, heavy beams of the cedar wood, there were 20 on each side. There was 60, and then there was, or 20 on both sides. There was 40, and then approximately 8 or 10 at the sides. So we're talking about 60 beams, and they were standing upright. They were all held together at three places, top, bottom, and middle. And there wasn't a nail or a screw. It could be assembled and taken apart without breaking anything. And a hole was drilled through the sides of each beam, perfect precision, that went all the way across the 20 beams on one side. And then a bar, which was made out of wood, went all the way through to hold it at the middle. And there was a technique used to hold it at the bottom, and rings to hold it at the top that could be placed on or taken off. The same thing with the Kahanim, with the Big Day Kuhuna, were made all in this lavish way. And then we brought, and then also the Torah tells us, She'odim chas ala yofa, that what was beautiful we had to protect. Well, this is all speaking of physical elements, physical beauty. It had to be protected. So what was more beautiful was placed on the inside, while on the outside were placed the heavier skins that could protect it. And then we brought that the Beis Hamikdash was far more lavish. And we brought from the Gemara in Bava Basra during the time of Hudas, that he took Eitzah, he took counsel from the Chachomim, and he rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash was standing, but he renovated and restored it. And the Chachomim said, we went into detail on that from the Gemara in Bava Basra, and the Gemara in there, the Chachomim said that Mishalei Ra Binyan shall heard this Lora Binyan Lora Binyan Yofe Biyomov Binyan Noe Biyomov. Whoever didn't see the building of Herdes has never seen such a building like that in his life. And they lived not long after the time of the Greeks and during the Romans, when their whole life was building buildings. And classical buildings. Then the Rambam writes that when we're obligated, we have the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash. We have to build it with the greatest wealth possible. He says if the Tzibur has the wealth, then it's a mitzvah min amufchar. It's the Hidu mitzvah to overlay the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold. Then we spoke about the Kahanim. Besides the fact that the Kahanim physically had to be perfect, if there was an injury, if there was an abnormality in them, physically, they were disqualified from the Avodah. Their garments had to be perfect. If their garments were torn, or if their garments did not fit perfectly, then it was a disqualification, not only for them, but for the Korban. Sacrifice was not kosher. And they never laundered their begodim. Once that they were soiled, they were set aside. They were used for something else, for the wicks of the menorah. They had to have new begodim. So they could wear them only when they were new and fresh. It seems like a waste. Very, very expensive clothing. The Gemara says, Ein anius b'mokam ashiris. When you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must serve him with the wealth of this world. This was the Palten Shel Melech, the palace of the king. And the Kohen Gadol, his garments were even more lavish. He had the big days off, golden garments that were made from the gold threads and with all of the other blazing colors. Then we spoke about the Levim. The Levim had to be masters in music. And if a Levi didn't have a good voice and he couldn't come up to scratch, he was disqualified. There was total perfection with the instruments and the music. And those that directed it had to be masters of the chochmas of music. The Kohen Gadol, it states, he was the Gadol Me'echov, the greatest of all his brethren, that means begeva in height, if possible, in wisdom, if possible, in wealth. If he didn't have wealth, all of the other kahanim were obligated to give him from their wealth in order that he should be the wealthiest. And great kovod, great glory and beauty and honor, we went through this from the Rambam last time, was accorded to him like a king. So those were some of the points we mentioned. Now let's continue from there this evening. We find this also by the Melech. The Rambam brings, well, this is the Gemara's, but I'll quote a few Rambams. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Beis, Kovod Gadol Nayagin B'Melech. We are obligated to give great honor to our king. And every man has to have great awe and honor and respect and fear from him. Ein Reichim Al Susay, no one can ever dare ride his horse. Ein Yeshvin Al Kisay, no man is ever allowed to sit on his throne. No man is ever allowed, this is whether he's alive or dead, ever allowed to use a scepter. Velei b'kisrei, and certainly not his crown. Velei b'echod mikol kli tashmishai. Never any of the objects which he uses. And that's why when he would die, they would burn all of them. He's not allowed to wave his honor at all. Melech shemochel akfeidei, ein kfeidei mochel. And he's never allowed to let anyone see him not properly dressed, or while he's taking a haircut, or when he's in the bathhouse, or when he's drying himself off. If he has a brother, and the brother marries and dies without children, so now his brother's wife falls to the king as a Yavama. He's not able to give her chalitza. What is chalitza? That's where she would come and take his shoe off and spit in front of him. And she's not allowed to do that. So he's not allowed to give her chalitza. The Gemara then says it's a drosha. If she can't give her chalitza, he can't give her yibum. It's a whole business. And even if he says, I'll waive my honor. Let her give me chalitza. Ein shemin lei. Bezdin will not listen to him. Like we said, he cannot waive his honor. Meis le meis. If someone of his immediate family dies, so he's an oval. And he yates and be pesach paltrin shalai, like the Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to go out of his palace and follow the coffin, follow the casket. And when the Am comes to be menachem him, he sits on his couch and they sit on the floor. Hamelech mistaper, we said the Kohen Gadol had to take a haircut once a week. How often did the king have to take a haircut? Mistape b'chol yom, every day. Now, he didn't go to the barber shop. The barber, he had his barber, and the barber would come to him every day. It shouldn't have taken too long if you take a haircut every day. But this means he has to be an ultimate physical perfection, physical beauty. Umesakin atzmai umisnoe bemalbushov. And he had to adorn himself. He had to make himself perfectly groomed and adorn himself perfectly groomed, more than perfectly groomed, a haircut every day. That means he had to cut his hair and trim his beard every day. And he had to make himself perfectly physically groomed. And the same thing, malbushin noim. His clothing had to be perfect and royal. Umefuorim. Mefuorim means pe'er, glorious. Shenema melech biyof yosech hazeno einecho. As it states, the king you must see in his beauty. And here we're speaking, it's all physical. You say, this is not important. The main thing is what's in the heart of the person. No. V'yoshev al kisei malchusei bepalterin shaloi. And he would sit on his throne in his palace, umesim kesei bereishoi, and place the crown on his head, v'chol amboin elov v'eishi yotze. And when he wants people to come, then he would allow them or summons them to come. Aimdim lefonov, they would stand before him, umishtachavim also, and they would bow to the ground. Afilu novi, even the prophet, omed lifnei hamelech, he stands before the king, mishtachav also, and he bows to the ground. Shenemar hinei nosen hanovi vayovei lifnei hamelech v'yishtachavu lemelech, like it says in Melochim, nosen hanovi came to David HaMelech, the prophet, and he bowed to the ground. Aval kein godl, einu bo lifnei hamelech elim rotze, the kein godl cannot be summoned to the king, because the kein godl was a king in his own right, the high priest. So he couldn't be summoned. And when he came to the king, then the king would have to stand for him. Hamelech emi lifnei kein godl. As it states, lifnei alozer ha-kein yamayt. And afal pikein, but still it's a mitzvah al kein godl lechaber es hamelech. But still it's a mitzvah on the kein godl to give honor to the king, ulay shivay, v'lamed bimorim, kishyov alayin, to tell him to sit. And then the Rambam brings, but this the king would stand up when he had to ask the kein godl a question, because he had the urim v'tumim in the breastplate. Was the Urim Batumim, the shame of Hashem, they would ask it questions. Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? Would be answered. That's when the king had to stand up. And then the Rambam, then what happens when the Sanhedrin came to him? The Rambam goes through all of this. So what do we see here? We see also that there was an enormous kepeda. The kepeda was an enormous demand that the king, not only does he, the king naturally, he had to be a great Yirish Shomayim, he had to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to be the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to have two Sifrei Torah, everyone one, he had two, one he would keep in a safe place, the other he took with him all of the time. He had to rule the people with the ultimate of justice. But in addition to that, we see the kepeda, the demand on his physical perfection, on his physical beauty, on his physical honor. Now, it's not limited. This is not limited to the kein godel or to the melech. We find this also, the praise of the physical attributes in people also. Firstly, the Torah itself states on the Imaos, on the matriarchs, called Sora Yisko. What does Yisko mean? Yisko comes from the word to gaze. Shehakol Sechin B'yofyo. The Torah praises her. Sora, Mora brings with one of the most beautiful women of creation. That's why Avram had all so many problems. Wherever he went, she was abducted. But notice she wasn't abducted by the populace. She was abducted by the king. It says there that when his servant saw her, he says, Zu Rui Lamelach. This is someone that could be a queen. And she was called Yisko Shahakol Sochin B'Yofyo. Everyone was stunned by her beauty. And Rivka, the Torah says, Hanara Tobis Mare Ma'od. The young lass was very, very beautiful to look at. And Rachel, the Rachel Ha'isa Yifas To'ar V'Yifas Mare. Praises Rachel, she was so beautiful. So here the Torah is speaking of physical attributes. The Gaon, in his Pirish and Chumash, I believe it's called Eliyahu, asks, Aishle Mamelech said, Hevel Ayefi, Sheker Achein veHevel Ayefi. He said, Chein and beauty is Chein, that's how it meets the eye. That's deceiving, because she could be not beautiful, and to you she looks beautiful. So that's deceiving. And Yofi is Hevel. Yofi, physical beauty, is Hevel, is empty. So why is the Torah praising her? He says, no. He says, it's not empty. If that's all there is, it's empty. But Isha Yiras Hashem Hiti Salol. When an Isha is a Yiras Hashem, fears Hashem, then she's praiseworthy not only for her Yiras Hashem, but for her beauty also. In other words, the beauty is the external part of the keli. If it's an empty keli, it's worthless. But what happens if it's a keli that's full of jewels? Then the external beauty also is praiseworthy. This is how the Gaon explains this. The Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Tes Vov, there the Gemara goes through a whole discussion as to who were the most beautiful women in the world. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, these were the Tanoim, Arba Noshim Yefifiais Hoyu Ba'olam. There were four women that their beauty stood out above and beyond all people of creation. Sora was the first one. Rahab was the second one. Rahab was the one that the spies went to when they went into Jericho, into Jericho. And Rahab saved the spies. She concealed them. Later on, she was Megayer. And she married, who did she marry? Yeshua. She married Yeshua. Abigail was to marry Dovra Melech. And Esther. These were the four most beautiful women of creation, the Gemara says. Sora, Rahab, Abigail, and Esther. Then the Gemara says, Alamandom Esi Yarak Raikos Hayso. This one mandioma that says that Esther, though, was very, very beautiful. Can't deny that, because she won the International Beauty Contest by Achashverosh, so that's something we can't deny. But it states she was not that class to be the highest of creation, because her skin was not pure white. It was of an olive tint. Actually, there was a reason for this. The Maral goes into it. But she had an olive tint, so therefore she couldn't be classified, according to that an opinion, she couldn't be classified as the most beautiful in all of creation. So then the Gemara says, all right, then it wasn't Esther, but it was Vashti. Vashti was. Then Tesis asks the question. He says, what about Chava? Chava was more, that's the first woman, Eve. She was more beautiful than all of the women. Because the Gemara says in Cheskes Abatim and Baba Basra, Sora lifnei Chava kekeif b'nei Odom. Sora, when she was compared to Chava, was like taking a monkey, an ape, next to a human being. This was the beauty of Chava. So Tesis says, why didn't they count Chava? He says, no, that's not fair. They're only speaking about people that were born from another human being. Adam and Chava were created by the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be that it wasn't in the ultimate of perfection? See? So therefore Chava wasn't allowed in the contest. But here you see that the Chazal are speaking of the physical beauty of these women. There's a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah. I mentioned that my Rebbe Rav Gifter has a shir on this that we're speaking about. It's printed in the Shir Hadash, and he brings a number of these cases. But one, this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, he brings. Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah and Daf Chof. Gemara states, "My sir." Shim Gamliel. Shim Gamliel was from the house of the Nassim. They were from the lineage of Beis David. Shoyal Gabi Maila Beharabais. He was standing on a Maila on an elevation in Harabais. So that's a very high point. Beroh, and inadvertently, the Gemara explains, he saw an Avedis Kechovi, an idolatrous. Achas one, no Ebi Yeser, of extreme beauty. What did he do? Omar, he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Mo Rabu Ma'asecho, Hashem. How great are your acts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a posuk in Tehillim. And we say it in our Tefillah Shachris, before Krishna every day. Mo Rabu Ma'asecho Hashem Kulam Bechochmo Osiso Mole Oretz Kinyonecho. How great are your acts, are your deeds, Hashem. Everything that you have made in the ultimate of wisdom. The land is full of what you have made. This is what he said when he saw this idolatrous of such extreme beauty. He praised the beauty of it. It was the acts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara brings the Afar Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva also did this. Ra Eishes. The Gemara is bringing this because it's speaking about a different thing. That it's asking Akasha. It's asking Akasha and Rab, because Rab says that when it comes to an idolater, you're not allowed to praise him. See? So the Gemara is going into that. He saw the wife of Turnufus Harosha. This was a Roman nobleman. He saw his wife, the wife of this person. Rok, Sochak, Ubocha. First, he became angry and he spat. Then he became full of joy and he laughed. And then he wept. This is what he did. So why? Raksha Isame Bitibisrucha. He became angry and he spat because he saw where she was coming from. Sochak, later on, he became full of joy. Dasida de Magaira Vinosivlo, because he, with Ruach HaKodesh, he could see that one day she would be Magaira and she would become his wife. Bocha, why did he weep? She was of extreme beauty. The high shufra boli afra. That such beauty is going to come to an end and end up in the earth. He wept on that. That the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends up in the earth. Actually, this was from the Malach HaMoves, from the Chet. The Chet of the Eitz Hadas. So we see that he also praised this. Now this was by human beings, not only by the king and not only by the Kohen Gadol, but by human beings. There's another Gemara on this. It's the Gemara in Masechta Brachos. Daf Hei Amud Beis. Gemara brings Reb Lezer Cholash. Reb Lezer became sick. All the Gabi Reb Yechanan. Reb Yechanan went to visit him. Chozer da have a kogoni bebeis ofel. he saw that he was resting in a house that was very, very dark. There wasn't sufficient light there. Galya Lidare. So he rolled up his sleeve, the Nofal Nahora, and he lit up the entire house. Rabbi Yochanan was supposed to be of enormous beauty. Actually, it states that his shufra came from, his beauty and radiance came from his ancestors, going all the way back to Gemara, his Mephal prophet came from Yaakov and so on. And he had enormous radiance. Beauty brings radiance. So when he rolled up his sleeve, he was able to light up the entire room. Chazid de Kavi Gop, but Kobochi Reb Lozer. He saw that Reb Lozer was weeping. Omalea Maiko Bochisa. Why are you weeping? Imishum Teda de Lea Fashto. Is it because he was very sick, he was afraid he was going to die, and therefore he was weeping because he hadn't learned enough Torah? Shanina, we learned Echad Amarbe Vechad Amamitu Bavad Shechav Liba L'Shamayim. There's those who learn a lot, and there's those who learn a little. The main thing is that you have intentions to do what you can. So that's nothing to weep about. If you're weeping because you lived a difficult life and you never had enough wealth, but you had Torah, and not everyone is zeicher to shtei shulchanos, to two tables in this world, both to have wealth and Torah. Imishum bani, maybe you're weeping because you didn't have children. Din garma de asira bir. Rabbi Yochanan used to carry a tooth with him from one son, could have been his tenth son, the Gemara brings, that died. Rabbi Yochanan evidently had either many, many sons that had died. So he says, this happens to many. And he pulled out the tooth and showed him. So why are you weeping? So he answered, no, I'm not weeping because of any of these reasons. I'm weeping because when I saw your beauty, that's why I'm weeping. Lahai shufra de boli ba'afra kobachino. That such beauty and radiance that you have one day will end up at the cemetery. That's why I'm weeping. Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, on Torah, your Torah don't weep, on your wealth don't weep, on your children don't weep. He says, Aldo, variko bechisa uboche trevayo. He says, on this is something that we should weep about. And they both wept. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such physical perfection, and it ends up rotten underground. And this was not the design of the world. This man did. Because man would have not ended up like that had it not been that they ate from the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, and they brought death to the world. In other words, that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork, Morabu Masecho Hashem, destroyed. Yes, that we should weep. And they both wept. That's what the Gemara brings. Now, this was by everyone. We're not talking about a king or a kohen gadol. Actually, even further, Tosfos brings on that Gemara, and the Gemara, Tosfos brings on the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, which we quoted. He brings the Yishalmi. The Gemara first says further. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, "Doma mar, haraya brias tevis." If you see beautiful creatures, even if they're not people, "Ema borak shekocha bora be'elamai." Blessed is he who has brought this into his world. Now, what does it mean when you see beautiful creatures? Tosfos brings, "Bishalmi Omar afilin gamal noe." Even a beautiful camel. "Sus noe," a beautiful horse. "Chamor noe," a beautiful donkey. Now, we're talking here about animal. in Yiddish, a third. Right? Or in Lashon HaKodesh, the Israelis, when they want to insult someone, they call him a chamor. I'm talking of a donkey, a chamor. Right? A gamel. And these are behemoth tameyas. They're not kosher animals. He says, Eimer Boruch Shekochalei Be'ailomai, you're obligated a brocha to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has made, this is what Yishalmi says, Tosfos brings, that he has created that beautiful horse, that beautiful camel, that beautiful donkey. It's easy to do it. The Gemara brings that if Kol Chachmei HaOlam, all of the wise of the world, not from our door, from all of the generations, will call a conference in Switzerland, Berlin, and they'll all get together, afilu nemola achas, afilu zvuv echod, one ant, one fly they will not be able to create. And they haven't so far. They haven't so far. I'm talking about perhaps themselves. One fly and one zabub and one namola. So you know what it goes into a camel, right? To a horse, a donkey. And if you see one that's so beautiful, it says you make a barocha. The Rambam brings this lahalocha. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Barochas. He brings in Perek Yud, halocha Yud Gimel, Hareya Briyais Nois Umesukones Biyeser. If you see beautiful creatures, Beilonais Tobis, beautiful trees, Mevorak Shekochale Beilomai, you are obligated in the Baruch Adi. My Rebbe Rav Gifter brings from here, he says, you see, this is not a Hidur, this is not a Maisa Hasidus. You're obligated. Obligated to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is what he has put into his world. Now, what are we talking about? A chamor, a fed. Right? Obligated to make a brocha, because how much handiwork, how much skill, how much engineering. The genetic engineering, how much genetic engineering. How much wisdom has gone into it? Who can do it? The master of the universe. And we must recognize it. We must value it. We must appreciate it. Mor Abu Masecha Hashem. This was Rav Gamliel, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Rambam brings at the end of Isuri Hilchas Isuri Mizbeach. Thank you. The Rambam brings he says that by olive oil our Tanoim, our sages were masters at every wisdom. You see that from the Gemaras. There wasn't a wisdom that they weren't masters of from beginning to end. When we talk of olive oil, we talk about olive oil, cold-pressed, virgin. Okay, good. How much do you know about olive oil? The sages made 9 different types of olive oil. Tisha meaning, b'shemen. They knew how to make 9 grades of olive oil. And each one was different. Each one was processed different. And each one they gave a number. This was Rishon, this was Sheni, this was Shlishi, Revi. But they didn't go straight numbered. There were different categories. For the menorah, there were only 2 types, 2 or 3, that were kosher. The for the menaches, for the meal offerings, that the olive oil was always mixed into it, generally, with a few exceptions. Kulin shedin, they were all kosher. The Rambam says, Harishain ein lamala mimenu. That was Rishon, that was the best. Sheni in the Revi, the number two and the number four, they were equal to a second place. Afterwards came Shlishi, Chamishi, Ushvi, number three, number five, and number seven. They were equal. Afterwards came Shishi, Ushmini, six and eight. They were equal. And Chi was in Lamata Mimano. The Chi was at the bottom. The ninth was at the bottom of the list. Yeah, three were kosher. In kosher lamnora el rishon revi ushvi. Only the first, the fourth, and the seventh was kosher for the menorah. Now, for the menaches, kulin kshirim. The menaches, they were all kosher. If for the menaches, they were all kosher, and just three of them were kosher for the menorah, then it was only important for us to know those three. Because we had to know those three. That was for the menorah. It wasn't necessary to know the grades of the others, because they were all kosher for the menaches. This is the question that Rambam asks. He says, Me'ache shukulin kshein lemenaches lama nimno? K'dei leida yofe shein lemala mimeno, v'hashove v'hapoches. No, it's important for us to know the grades. Because she'areitze lezakes atzmoi. Because someone who wants to bring a schus to himself, he wants to bring merit and purification to himself. Yokov Yitzre Hara, he should prevail over himself, v'yarchiv yodei, and open his hand wide, v'yovi korbanei min hayofe, and when he brings his sacrifice, he should bring from the best, naturally the best, better grades were more expensive. HaMeshubach b'yeser, sheba'ese ha'min sheyobi mimenu. Then whatever he brings, he must bring from the very, very best. That's if he wants to purify himself, b'mazak himself, make himself a schus. And therefore it was important for us to know the grades of the oil, even though they were all kosher for menaches, what we should try for. First best, or if I can't, at least the second best. Now here again, what are we speaking about? Speaking about physical oil. What's the difference? Now, then the Rambam brings, Harinema b'teira v'hevel hevi gam hu b'mecheres seinai u'michel beham. By Cain v'hevel. Cain, he brought from anything. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu won't accept it. Hevel brought who from the b'cheres. B'cheres means, it's firstborn, but what it means, it was from the best. He brought from the best of his sheep. U'michel beham, and from their fat. The fat means the best. By Yisha, Hashem el Hevel vel min Chosei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his gift. So what do we see? It does make a difference. And we're in the Avodas Hashem. Now, someone might tell you, look, this was the custom of the Evdei Avodah Zarah. They came to a big statue. They came to a big idol. And their corrupt and twisted minds, they thought it would make a difference to the idol. So they brought their best fruit. See? They brought their best meat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a difference. He's not interested in the physical world. He's interested in what's in the heart of the person. So what difference does it make? The Rambam says, no, that's a great error. That's a great error. Whatever you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be from the very best of your physical world. And this we see from Hevel and Cain. V'hu adin b'chol dover shuhu l'shem hokel hatov. And this is for everything that you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shia min hanoeh. It must be from the most beautiful and from the best. And don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't recognize beauty. Who made the beauty in the world? Don't say he doesn't recognize what's good. Who made what's good? That's his handiwork. In Bona based tefillah, many would think, look, the main thing is you daven. What's the difference if it's a run-down place, or if it looks like a palace, or if it's a corner shtiebel? The main thing is, it's a place to daven. The main thing is you have you have a pareiches, so it looks like a rag, so what? Or you have a mantle or a mape, it's not kosher. Not so. In bona based tefillah, if you build a based tefillah, if you build a shul, it's got to be nicer than your home. How many times do we have? You have people living in mansions, and the shul is a little place in the corner. Baruch Hashem, Johannesburg is a city. South Africa was a country known for beautiful shuls. This is what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it's not right. He says, Anochi Yoshev Bebeis HaRozim. I am living in a palace of cedar. Arein Bris Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant is Ael Yiriyos is in a tent. That was the Mishkan. He came with a claim against him. Is that right? And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right. Not only that, he says, you're the first one that came to me to say he will build a castle for me. And he says, therefore, you will build it, but it will be your son, Shlomo HaMelech. He says, you build a shul. Can't be better. You live in a mansion and the shul is a rundown place. It has to be better. Hechel Rav. This is in Avedis Hashem. A hungry person comes to you. Yachol min hatov v'hamosuk shebishulchonai. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah chesed. You must give him from the best of your table, not the leftovers. Kiso orum yechasem min hayofesh shebiksusai. You want to buy clothing for the poor? He says, yes, all right, you can buy yourself expensive clothing, beautiful suits, silk ties, and buy him something cheap. You can't say it's not a mitzvah, but that's not the real way to do it. The real way to do it is you clothe him like you would clothe yourself for the best. Higdish davar, if you give something to the Beis HaMikdash or you give something to the shul, yagdish min hayofe shivan achosov. You give him the best. V'cheinu ha'imeh kol chelev l'ashem. And that's what it says. You must give the fat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the mitzvah by Bikurim. When you brought for the Bikurim, it had to be for the best fruits. There were certain types of te'enim, of dates, that the Mishnais and Bikurim brings, that some grew in the mountains. They didn't grow well. Others grew in the valley. There the heat was much stronger, the sun, they grew much better. So sometimes the others were disqualified. You couldn't bring them. They weren't the best. The same thing with the figs. When it's brought, for example, you weren't allowed to bring dry fruit. It has to be fresh fruit, because fresh is better than dry. Unless you were coming, you lived in Eretz Yisrael, far away from Yerushalayim, and by the time you got it there, it would rot. Well, then you were allowed to bring the dried fruit. But otherwise not. It had to be the fresh dates and the fresh pomegranates. It's brought, for example, what about the juices of the fruits? Now, the juice was not the best. We had to bring the fruit. But when it came to the olive, there you could bring the oil, because the oil is the best part of the olive. When it came to the grape, there you could bring the wine, because the wine is the best part of the grape. And when you brought it, how must you bring it? If you could afford it, you were supposed to bring it in gold kelim, and gold vessels. Now what, this is all gashmius, though. We're talking here of gashmius, the olam hageshem. This is all the physical world, the lowly physical world. And we're talking about Avedis Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see consistently that this is an entire false hashkofa, to think that, look, this world is for Esav. This is for the Greeks, not for the Jews. We see consistently not like that. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. And here actually we come to the Sheirish, to the source of it. The Gemara brings Shmuel ben Eishar b'yechem ben b'reika osam mishum ya'av sanyo ze keli van vehu. In the Shiras Hayom, Pashas B'Shalach, when Klal Yisrael crossed the sea, the Red Sea, and they sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, Ze Keli, this is my God, the Anvehu. And Anvehu has a number of interpretations. One interpretation, Anvehu, Rashi brings a few Pirushim, is Noveh, I will build a home for him. Another interpretation is I will beautify him by singing, by making romantic poetry. The Rishonim were great poets. All of our piyutim, our tefillos, our piyutim. But not only the Rishonim, it was Shlomo HaMelech that wrote the great poetry, and Dovid HaMelech. And I will sing to him great romantic poetry. That's another interpretation Rashi brings. But Anveo has another two interpretations that the Gemara brings here. And that is what it says. Desanyo ze keli vi Anveihu. Anveo is from the word beautify. Hishnoya lefona b'mitzvus. Beautify his mitzvus. It's not enough to do mitzvus alone, but you must do them in the most beautiful, physically beautiful fashion. For example, if you're building a sukkah no'eh, it must be a beautiful sukkah. What's the difference? A sukkah is a sukkah. The Gemara says what the qualifications are. Sukkah must have three walls, it must have schach, it tells us what the schach has to be, it tells us how big it has to be, finished. Now, it's got to be a beautiful sukkah. Lulav, you take a lulav and an esrog, it's got to be beautiful. Noya. Shofar, now shofar, you don't even have to see. Shofar, you have to hear. Nishmea kol shofar is the barocha. So the main thing is you should hear a good kol. Now, but it's a hefzid mitzvah, it's an article of mitzvah. It should be noya. You should take a shofar that is beautiful. That's why they would polish the shofars. Sometimes they would make designs on them. They would bring out different colors out of the shofars. Tzitzis. The Rif brings talis. Yes, it has to have its qualifications for kashrus, but it should be beautiful. Why? Because these are mitzvahs for Hashem, and you have to physically beautify them. Sefer Torah, no'er. Sefer Torah should be beautiful. Kosev be'lishmai b'jay no'er. You should use a beautiful ink. Kolmis no'er. Beautiful pen. Lavler umen. The sofer. You must choose a sofer who is an expert artist, who writes letters beautifully. Korcha b'shirai no'in. And you should endure it. You should wrap it in beautiful garments. This is the mantlach. So what does it mean? Ze keli v'anvehu? This is my God and I will beautify him. How do we beautify him? Physically beautify him? We physically beautify our service to him. We physically beautify our mitzvahs to him. There is another drosha. Abashol eime v'anvehu. Rashi says, what does the word anveu mean? Anivahu. What is anivahu? I and him. Anivahu. Ese atzmei kimeisei. Ledavik bedrochim. It's a mitzvah to make yourself like him. How do you make yourself like him? Mahu chanun verachum, mafato chanun verachum. You follow his midas. This is a Gemara in Masechta Seita. At the end of the first parak, it states, "Acharei Hashem elakechem teilechu." You should go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, "How can you walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Arehu esh echlo. He's a fire. How can you walk after him? You don't walk after a fire. You walk the other way from a fire." It states, "Hevi dovak halech acher midesov. Cleave to his qualities." Mahu malbusharumi, mafato malbusharumi. He clothes the naked, you must clothe the naked. And so forth and so on. We must cleave to his midas. Therefore, same thing here. Now, if we give iyun to this thought, we see that where it comes from. Who's the master of all beauty? Who's the master of engineering? Who's the master of precision? Who's the master of wisdoms? Where did it all come from? All comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, whatever he made was perfect. You see, he has an eye for beauty. He has an eye for colors. He has an eye for wisdoms. And we are supposed to cleave to his midas. And therefore we also have to value it and appreciate it and to praise it. It comes from him. Where did it come from? It can't come from any other source. If it comes from any other source, that's apikursus, that's kfira. It's like saying there are forces in the world that are independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are all his creations. Morabu Masecha Hashem. Kulam Bechochmo Asiso. Mole Ores Kinyonecha. Now, what we see from here, and this actually, I believe my Rebbe touches on. Actually, when did they say this? Zekei Livan Veho. You know when they said this? And that's when they said, cleave to him and beautify him. We see he's the master of beauty. What is beauty? Perfection, physical perfection. When did we say this, Zekei Livan Veho? The Gemara says this came at the highest point. When we crossed the sea and we saw the great miracles, there means they pointed. They came to such a height they could point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, this is my God. And it says, Rosso Shifchal Al Yom Mashaloro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Yecheskel Ben Buzi was the great prophet that was able to see the Mice of Merkava. The Mice of Merkava were the greatest secrets of the chariot of Hashem. And on the sea, it states, a lowly handmaid saw more than he did. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they came to such heights of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there they said, we must beautify him. Because they saw what he was. What we see from here is that the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the closer he is to his handiworks. All of his handiworks. And that's why Reb Shimon Gamliel, when he saw this woman, he could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Marabu Masecha Hashem. Or when the great Hanoim would see a horse, they could be praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were so close to his handiworks. To the contrary, someone who rejects this world and says, look, this is not important. This is nothing. He's all he's doing, he's testifying on himself how far away he is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's very, very far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he cannot recognize his HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiworks in his creation. He's blind. But the Chazal say one fly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created has more wisdom than the wisdom of all of the Chachmei Ha'oretz from the beginning to the end of the world. And then a person can't recognize that. Oh, there's something wrong. This is a testimony on oneself of how far he is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's another dimension, which is merely a continuation of what we're saying. And that is, you have the worlds, the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds, in the physical worlds. If we would subscribe to the philosophy, to the Ashkofa, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the spiritual worlds, but not the physical worlds, then this outlook would be correct. Physical world is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Give it to Esav. Give it to the Greeks. Give it to the Germans. Let them have it. We'll take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. But then who then created the physical world? The Germans, the Greeks, the Romans. Everything in the physical world, where did it come from? All of our technology, past, present, and future, where did it come from? People want to say that that's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't realize. Without realization, they're being kafir by Hashem. They're becoming apikursim. If it's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's coming from some other force, some alien force. Who's it coming from? Buddha? From Yoshka? From Islam? It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. He put everything in the Maisa Bereishis that, and he gave, granted, the wisdom and the permission for people to take it out of the creation through the generations. That's why Alexander Graham Bell came across the telephone, which without that we couldn't do anything today. And Tom Edison, electricity, and all your technology. Enormous forces that you can put a spaceship exactly in a place hundreds of thousands of kilometers away. So that's all his. And these were placed in the world for Barocha. These are enormous forces. The mass media is an enormous force. I mean, in a matter of instants, you can communicate with the entire world. Photography. Say it's a picture is worth 1,000 words, 10,000 words. Motion pictures. Computers. These are enormous forces. Where'd they come from? Bill Gates brought it out, but he didn't create it. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiworks. They were given for bracha. What did man do with them? They used them for klolot. You take your movie industry, the root of some of the greatest evil in the world could have been the root of some of the greatest bracha in the world. You take your weapons industry, what did they use on? They harness the power to destroy. That's man's handiwork. That you can't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. His handiwork is perfect. And he gave it over to man. Just like by Adam HaRishon, he put him in Gan Eden. And he brought Morbus, he brought death to the world. So therefore, we cannot subscribe to a philosophy that the upper worlds belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the lower worlds, that's not his. He didn't make that. Chas v'sholom. So he made both worlds. What do our Chazal tell us on the two worlds? The Chazal tell us very explicitly. Olam hazeh deima lepreister. Ve'eima leilam abo deima letrakle. This world is a great antechamber. The higher worlds are the great palaces. Haskein atzmecho, bepreizde kedeshet ikonis letrakelem. Prepare yourself in the antechamber in this world so you can enter the trakelem. Now, what do we see from the wisdom of the sages? Is it possible to get into the palace, not through the antechamber? Impossible. The only way you can get into the palace is through the antechamber. Which means the only way that a person can get to the upper worlds, to the spiritual worlds, to the world to come is only through this world. There is no other way. Nobody's done it yet. Only way a person can get to the next world or to the spiritual worlds is only through this world. That means that a person has to live in this world in order to come to the next world. All of this HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and He created it in that manner. And this was the great sod, the great secret that Yaakov Avinu brought to the world, of the Sulam Mutzav Arzo. He saw a ladder joining the two worlds together. One was the entry chamber to the next. And this is what the Chavis Havavis would say, that a person has to be like the ladder. Reishai Bashomayim, his head in the heavens, Viraglov Ben Chavis Anoshim, and his feet amongst the society of man. Now, one more point we have to add into this picture. All the perfection and all the beauty that comes into the physical world doesn't come from the physical world. It comes through the upper worlds. The Chazal tell us this. For example, it states, explains that the physical world on its own is made from chaymer. Chaymer is matter. Matter in itself has no light whatsoever. Dig into the earth, go into a deep cave, and everything will be totally black. This is the antithesis to beauty. This is antithesis to color. This is antithesis to light. Light, color, and beauty, the Chazal tell us. Physical light comes from the sun. The sun brings light, it brings color, it brings beauty. The sun would go out, everything would be black. There won't be any beauty. But where does the sun get its light from? The Chazal tell us that the sun receives its light from the Or HaElyon, from the upper lights, of the lights of the above worlds. And it states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, and he commanded us to make the Oren HaKodesh, it was called Oren, Al Shem HaOr, because it was Kula Or, all light. Shemisham Yotzo HaOr Le'ilam. Through the Torah and the Oren, the light came into the physical light. And from the physical light came the perfection of the physical world. There's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Ches, Perek HaNizokin, where there it's by Kamsa Bakamsa, speaking about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. It states like this, Maisa bi Isha Achas, there was a woman, Tzofnas bas Piniel Shema. Her name was Tzofnas, the daughter of Piniel. Tzofnas shakol seifin biyofya. Tzofnas means to gaze. Everyone gazed at her extreme beauty. The Gemara brings it when she was captured. Her captives, her captors said, she's the most beautiful woman in the whole world. This was her name, Tzofnas. Why was her father called Piniel? Bitei shel kahin godol sheshimesh lifnai ulifnim. The daughter of Piniel. Piniel means the one that went in. The kahin godol that went into the most inner chambers. The Maral says, was hainu hach. He says, this is why she was so beautiful. The kahin godol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the source of all light to the world. The Or HaElyon, the higher lights that came in. That's where the Oren was and the Torah. And the Kohen Gadol had this purity and Kedusha. And therefore he gave birth to such a daughter that had such extreme beauty. This was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds. So you can't separate the worlds. You can't separate the worlds if you want to come to the palace. As I'll say, this is the antechamber. You can't get into the palace without the entry hall. And you have to haskein atzmecho. You have to fulfill yourself. Prepare yourself in the entry hall. All of our mitzvahs are only in the physical world. It's done with a physical sukkah, or a piece of matzah, or a piece of bread, or whatever. This is the way to come to it. If that's the case, so where is the place of Esav? Where is the place of Yovan? There's a big difference. They separated the worlds. Esav was kofar b'tkiyas ha'meisim. Esav denied the world to come. He said, there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he took this world. He became the master over the physical world when it separated from the spiritual world. And he wallowed in it. And he sunk in it. And he took the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he made darkness out of it. Al Charb HaChotichya. He destroyed it. Yovan, the masters of perfection and wisdoms, did the same thing. They denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They became idolaters. They separated the worlds. And they rose up against the Beis HaMikdash. In our Gemara in Baba Basra, states the Beis HaMikdash was called Eura Shel Olam, the light of the world. And the Chachomim were called the Oran Shel Olam, the light of the world, that was the Torah. And they separated. This was Hitler. So he got the physical world, separated it. What did he get? Darkness. The Chazal say in the Midrash, the Yevonim shehechshicha es einei Yisrael b'gzeirei sehen. They darkened the eyes of Yisrael with their decrees against the Torah. Darkness, but they were supposed to be the light of wisdom. The masteryship of Yaakov Avinu was not to reject the physical world, chas v'shalom. Was to elevate the physical world so it worked hand in hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the spiritual world. And therefore he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu with both worlds. And that's what the Rambam says. When you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to serve him from this world, not from the next world. And therefore you must take the best of this world. The Chelbehen, the Becheres. And you must use this world to serve him. Then you will come to all of the worlds. This is what we find that it states that Eretz Yisrael, which is from this world, but it's attached to the next world. It's the Eretz HaKdosha. In its prime was more beautiful than all of the lands of the world when it came to beauty. And Yushalayim was more than everything. States 10 measures of beauty came to the world. Tisha Notla Yushalayim. Yushalayim took 9. Because that beauty is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it comes from the upper worlds into this world through Yerushalayim. States on Yerushalayim is Sos Kol Oretz. Joy to the world would come from the joy of Yerushalayim. There's no joy in Yerushalayim, there's no joy in the world. The beauty to the world came from the beauty of Yerushalayim. To give you an idea of how beautiful Yerushalayim is when it's built up, not Bichur Bomai, at the time when we had the Beis HaMikdash or the Melech HaMashiach, to give you an idea, the Chazal tell us that Tzoan was the Moshe Malochim. It was the seat of the kings in ancient Mitzrayim, in ancient Egypt. Mitzrayim, Egypt, the Torah testifies, Ki Gan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim, that it was like the garden of Hashem, like Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Torah praises ancient Egypt like a garden of Hashem. It was the most beautiful of all of the countries, of all of the lands. Tzoan was the Moshe Malochim, was the seat of its kings. It was the most beautiful city in the world. The Torah tells us that Hebron, which was the worst of Eretz Israel, the worst. That's why it was set aside for kfura, for burial places, was seven times more beautiful than Tzoan. The worst of Eretz Israel was seven times more beautiful than the most beautiful city of the most beautiful land in the world. Seven times more. Yerushalayim was the most beautiful of Eretz Israel. So what was Yerushalayim? In other words, I've said many times, that means that Yerushalayim b'binyonai will make the Swiss Alps look like a slum, according to this calculation. Right? 31 kings bought up land in ancient Yerushalayim. Today you see, you know, the people with a lot of dollars want to get flats. Nah, that's nothing. 31 kings in the world bought up land in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Israel, so they could build their summer palaces there in ancient Eretz Israel. This was evident. This was the place to be. That was the light that was coming from the Ora Elyon into the Beis HaMikdash, into Yerushalayim, and from there it went to the rest of the world. So that's this beauty that we have. And that's what we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me conclude with a Mishnah Masechta Oveis in Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yaakov Eimer. Yaakov says, a mahalech bederech, someone who's walking on the way, b'shoneh, and as he's walking, he's learning, u'mafsik mi mishnosai, and he interrupts his learning, ve'aymer, and he says, ma no'er ilon zeh, ma no'er nir zeh. He sees a very beautiful tree. So he interrupts his learning, and he says, oh, how beautiful this tree is. Or how beautiful this field is that was freshly plowed. It's as if he would be liable for the death penalty. They ask him, what was wrong? According to what we're saying, he's supposed to make a brocha. If you see something so beautiful, you're supposed to see it. The Maral says, no, just to the contrary, to the contrary. If a person is learning Torah, there's no way he can come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time that he learns Torah. Yes, he has to live in this world, but at the time he's learning Torah, the Torah is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, Amalame Teiros Alame Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teaching him the Torah. We gave this in a shir not long ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teaching him the Torah. He says, where does the beauty come from? Beauty comes from the tree. The beauty comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The beauty comes from his Torah that came into the world. That's what gives the beauty and the perfection to the physical world, like we're saying. He says, what would happen, listen closely, what would happen if you were given an audience to speak to a great king, Franz Josef, an emperor, Rudolf? I'm not talking about the Queen of England, because she's powerless. When you were speaking to the great kings, at the snap of a finger, the person could be a head shorter. So he had an audience to come and speak to a mighty king. And while the king is speaking to him, he says, "Excuse me," and he starts to talk to the king's servant. It won't be mischayev benafshei. It won't be liable for the death penalty. The servant belongs to the king. The king is speaking to you, and you interrupt him and start talking to a servant. Where did the tree come from? Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. You're learning his Torah. And now you turn around and say, "Excuse me, how beautiful that tree is." That's an affront. It's an insult. If you're not learning Torah, that's something else. But that's the source. That's the Or. That's the light that was brought down to the Or in HaKodesh. The light that came into the world. The sun gets its light from there and brings light to the world. And that's where the tree grows from. It shows the person is way out of perspective. This is the explanation there. So, in summary, a person was placed in this world with the ability to live in this world and to use this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fulfill his mitzvahs, to come to higher heights, spiritual heights, and reach higher worlds. But that can only be done through this world, which also was a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created both worlds together and joined them. And that's what the Chazal tell us, how we have to live. Olam Hazeh Deimel Apreizder. This world is the great antechamber. Olam Abba Deimel Chakalin. The world to come is the great palace. How do you get to the palace? Only through the antechamber. And therefore we have to use this world. We have to value this world. We have to recognize this world, the entire physical world, with its physical perfections, with its physical beauty, with its physical wealth, with its physical wisdoms. These are all the handicrafts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'arabo Ma'asecho, Ma'le'ores Kinyonecho. But use them, not like Esav or Yobon, that this was the ultimate. If this was the ultimate, then you end up worshiping the tree. But this was the way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to serve him with it. And then you come to the Trakalin, into the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.